How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, all things considered.
Hold up in your studio for days on end?
Well, you know, I got really lucky. I've actually been able to, I've been in the house, which is very lucky, especially in New York. And I've been able to convert the living room into a little studio space. And so I've had kind of a live-work situation going on. And that's definitely been great for my sanity because I've pretty much been here nonstop since mid-March.
And likely to continue for a while, for longer, I assume.
You know, the official date they're throwing out now, I think, is June 13th. That's the next sort of benchmark to see if we can move to a new phase that's opening up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just, I have to wait and see. I mean, the numbers have been going in the right direction, luckily, here at least. And so that's promising. But, I mean, especially after Memorial Day weekend, I'm worried it's going to see another spike. Because people are getting a little stir-crazy, expectedly.
And defiant.
Yeah.
Have you been able to make good use of the time as far as your artwork is concerned?
I really have. Been very lucky with that. I was actually in the process before all this started of moving my studio upstate. To Catskill, the town of Catskill.
Yeah.
And it's been under construction for quite a while. Of course, all that came to an abrupt halt. But it sounds like it's going to be done in July now. And so I actually didn't have a studio for a period of time, which has been interesting, but this sort of allowed for me to get things rolling again, which has been awesome.
Good.
Yeah. So at least drawing wise, I haven't really don't really have the space to do sculpture, but that's fine.
Didn't I see somewhere where you've got a new series of drawings going, something new going on with your drawings? Or am I making this? Yeah.
Yeah. On, I don't know if you follow Monique's Instagram.
That's probably where I saw it. Yes.
I did a little takeover last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And I posted all the new stuff I've been working on, the quarantine series.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's all there.
I'll have to go back and look at it again. I know I saw mention of it, but maybe I just didn't have the time to check out the that post, but I will go back and look.
Great.
Let's. I want to go way back in time, not so far way back in time, but back to your younger years, and I'm interested to know when and how art began to enter your life.
Oh, cool. I really, I guess as a young kid, like, you know, elementary school, middle school, I did some art. I remember my elementary school art teacher, what was his name? Mr. Tomlin, I think. I have fairly fond memories of those classes, but I never really, like, thought of myself as having those talents. I had my best friend growing up was a really talented artist, actually. Very amazing, just natural drawer, and just had a lot of skills. And I always kind of thought, like, okay, that's what an artist is, you know. So it wasn't until high school, actually, that I really sort of found a mentor. And I had an amazing art teacher my senior year, in fact, who really just inspired me. And he's still a very close friend, actually, which is amazing. And so he really sort of set me on the path. And has just been incredibly supportive all along. So
what were you doing?
At that time, I was painting.
On canvas?
It was definitely more mixed media. And I'd say painting loosely, because there was a lot of drawing involved too. And it was definitely more of a mixed media approach. So it wasn't just like traditional paint on canvas. And my teacher, Miss Greg, he did a lot of work with like oil sticks, and so he had a pretty like sort of drawing approach to painting, pastels, things like that.
What was the subject?
For me, I was my access point, interestingly, was sort of blind contour drawing exercises. I really sort of latched on to that. And did a lot of work with that sort of strategy, even though it's, you know, usually used as like a learning tool. I really saw it as a means in itself. And so I would draw a lot of, it was figurative for the most part at that point. I definitely did a lot of self-portraiture and some work from photographs as well. And then it shifted into a much more abstract approach. And for quite a while, I was just doing these sort of mixed media paintings that were just black, white, and red. And so I really limited my palette, but I feel like I got a lot of mileage out of that.
Can I back up a minute? When you did the blind contour drawing, what do you think that gave to you?
I think that was... That's a good question. I guess it kind of gave me sort of a sense of confidence that I could make interesting images that people responded to. And do it in a way that was not like hyper realistic, because I've never been interested in drawing like that. And so it it definitely made me think differently about like what an image can be.
Did it make you feel differently?
Yeah.
Definitely. In the transmission of, in creating the drawing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It felt like, I guess I felt a little more like it, like the medium was moving me.
Well, and, you know,
yeah.
It's interesting because I'm talking to you and you're telling me this experience and I'm visualizing some of your drawings and I think about the fluidity of those drawings.
Yeah.
While they're playful and they're dense in notation and complex, there is some kind of freedom within them.
Sure.
That one feels. And so it takes me to these blind drawing, contour mm-hmm. drawings, and maybe something quite extraordinary that you developed from that experience.
I could totally see a direct connection, for sure.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
So, continuing on, talk about how you came to modify to the point where you might begin to identify early on what is now your known as your artistry.
I think that I don't know if this totally answers your question, but there was definitely a point after, you know, I graduated from high school. Didn't totally know what I was going to pursue. But there was a period where I didn't really think of art as being an option and thought I was going to do something else, actually. But I remember having a very interesting experience that led me that direction. And it was, I guess it was pretty much pretty soon after I graduated from high school. I actually took a little time off and worked before going to college. And which was good because that was good for me because it kind of gave me some space to breathe and figure out what I wanted to do. And there was a week during that time where it's hard to explain. It was just like everything I looked at just looked like art. And I just kept seeing just all these sort of banal things out in the world that I hadn't really thought about before and thought about them like, what if that was in the gallery? You know, like, what if that image on that billboard was in a gallery? And it's sort of a funny experience, and it really just kind of consumed me.
Were you seeing fragments? Were you seeing in the abstract? Were you looking at objects? What was it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of all of that. I would see, you know, it was like I could visualize, like, things in repetition, you know, like I'd see a chair and then I'd see in my mind's eye, like 10 of those chairs in a row and how that would become something else you know, mm-hmm. and I kept, for some reason, I was just, I guess I just being fresh out of art, you know, art-centered high school experience, I just was really just seeing things like that in that way. It was just a different perspective. And I was still living with my parents at the time, and luckily I could make a little studio space in their basement of the house they were in. And I really just kept going. I just, you know, kept the momentum going. And eventually I just, there was a kind of an aha moment where I just, you know, had all this work around me and people were really responding to it.
The work was changing, though, from what you had previously produced.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was doing all kinds of experiments and it was becoming more sculptural, actually.
Do you have a lot of that work still?
There is still some, yeah.
Do you look at it ever?
Sure, yeah. My parents still, they kept it. And they've been incredibly supportive.
Are you surprised when you see it? Do you see something in it?
It's a funny experience, honestly. I mean, I can still access, like when I see an old piece that I made, like when I was, you know, 19, I can look at it and see that me as a 19-year-old, like where I was. And it was definitely a moment in time and where my life was. And because I guess this is sort of an important aspect. I mean, I had, in high school, I had suffered from a pretty major period of depression. And it was like, it was an incredibly intense experience. And I was definitely, you know, in a suicidal state of mind at one point. And that I was able to, for whatever reason, with a lot of support, obviously, and parental love, I was able to kind of work my way out of that. And that really, like, gave me a perspective on just living and being alive and really, like, feeling a sense of, like, sort of ecstatic, you know, this the ecstatic experience of being alive, you know? And I think a lot of work at that time that I was doing was kind of in response to that. Because I sort of felt like I had a new lease on life, as they say. And it was very therapeutic, I guess, is really the takeaway. So art from the beginning has really been a form of therapy for me.
So hearing this, where you are now with your artistry, what has ensued since then, there's obviously a lot of whimsy in your work.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of performance work.
Mm-hmm.
You're always twisting things and confounding and And I'm wondering if that is the ballast to this darker side of the life experiences you had.
I think so, definitely. And I think that it's kind of a response to that. Maybe unconsciously at times. And I think that, you know, to go through a dark sort of existential crisis and come out the other side, I guess I feel like, you know, you kind of embrace the absurdity in a way that's therapeutic. And I think the humor can help with that, obviously. And I think that there is, there is a sense of, you know, I think as I've gotten older and the work has matured, along with me, as much as I've matured, I don't know how much that is, but, you know, a little bit, that, you know, I think I've definitely always, and I've always been interested in beauty, in making beautiful things, and seeing the beauty in the banal and the quotidian, and embracing that and using that to work off of, for sure.
Well, I mean, there is an absurdity too to some of the materials and manifestations of those materials, which then turn into beauty. So
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very complex, but fascinating. So would you say that period you went through was likely the most transformative moment in the development of your work?
That, like, period of depression?
Well, coming out of it.
Yeah.
And finding art.
I think, yes, just in this, and in the sense that it was the most, like, I would say it was, I mean, probably the most transformative period of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really did kind of feel like a new person afterwards. And I'm, you know, this, of course, it wasn't just like one day I was this and one day I was that.
Right.
I mean, it was a process. But looking back on it now, it, you know, there definitely was a before and after. And I think that experience too, also, it also sort of made me appreciate process and have a deeper understanding of process and how things change at the pace that they change, and how you can't push it, you know, you can't force it, and you can nudge it, but you can't force it. And so I think that was an important lesson for me, because in terms of my art practice, because I feel like the process is so important, and I think that harkens back to the therapeutic aspect.
In Altran Studio.
Yes.
So you learn patience, you learn pace.
Yeah, yep.
You learn to step back, you learn All of that translates.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and the integrity of an artist really rests on all of that, don't you think?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me when this cross-pollination of media began to enter into the picture. I mean...
Yeah, that was definitely an undergrad. I went to the University of Colorado in Boulder for my BFA, which is kind of a funny, kind of a funny place to go do that. But it turned out to be...
I know it.
Yeah.
I live in Colorado now.
Right, yeah. where are you again?
I'm in Vail.
In Vail, yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of random how I wound up there. I really did not. You know, sometimes you just don't have a plan. And I was just kind of going with the flow and wound up getting into school there. Part of it was because they didn't require a portfolio because I didn't have one. And which is so funny in retrospect. But anyway, I wound up having like two just incredible mentors there that completely, like, just totally influenced the direction that I've been on, my trajectory. And one was a professor. She's still there, in fact. Her name is Frances Chartres. She was a performance. At that time, she was teaching a performance class. And she does a lot of writing as well. And then Garrison.
That was part of the art curriculum?
It was. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Interestingly, because a lot of programs at that time, and this was like 1998, a lot of programs, especially, you know, state schools like that, did not have a performance art, you know, class. So that was very lucky, and I sort of took it on a whim, and that just blew my doors off. That was like the thing I'd been missing and didn't know it. And she was an incredible teacher and mentor and just unbelievably supportive. And then my sculpture professor that I worked with the most there, his name is Garrison Roots. And unfortunately, he passed about 5 years ago from cancer. But he was also an amazing mentor. And their teaching styles were so, like, diametrically opposed, you know, because she was a lot more, she was, like, very free and kind of, like, supportive, which I think it's, like, lends itself to the performance genre, because there's so much risk-taking that's happening there. So she was really supportive of that. And then Garrison was, you know, he's like an ex-military guy, you know, so he was like incredibly like critical and just was like legendary during critiques and totally kicked my ass, you know, it's just, and to have like both of that happening at once and just like the performance work, just completely opening up a whole new world of expression.
So you have these two mentors you meet. What did they each see in you? What part of you did they each identify?
I think with Frances and the performance, I think she really encouraged a sense of sort of fearlessness and risk-taking. And with Garrison, you know, he was a very detail-oriented instructor. And I think that was good. I think he, you know, he would encourage those things as well, but also, like, really make you think about, you know, dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And so both of those were just like really important for me, because I think I have, you know, I think at that time I really had a tendency to be too locked into one thing. And so the performance work would really help expand that. But at the same time, I felt like I wasn't like detail oriented enough. And so having like somebody make me think about that was important as well.
Sure.
So
I mean, one counterbalances the other, right?
Exactly.
The freedom versus the discipline. Where did drawing fit into all of this?
You know, at that time, funny enough, I wasn't really doing a lot of drawing. I mean, when I first started school there, I was actually just doing more painting. And I was still sort of thinking of myself as a painter. And sort of went down that path of, like, the paintings just keep getting more and more sculptural. And so I started taking sculpture classes, and this was before the performance class. So my first, I don't know if I totally have all the details right, but if I remember correctly, I think my first year there, I was pretty much just taking painting. And so, and maybe starting to do sculpture a little bit. And so the second year, I was definitely doing more sculpture courses, oriented courses. And then my third year is where the performance class came in. And then that really blew it wide open. And so then my final year, I was doing kind of a equal amount of sculpture and performance. And it's so funny, too, because Garrison, the sculpture professor, he hated performance art. And I kept doing performances. I mean, he would let me do it. But
and were you incorporating the sculpture in the performances?
Yeah. That's kind of how that sort of marriage happened. But just like the harshest critiques of my life was what I was trying to do performances in sculpture class for a professor that hates performance art. But it was great. I mean, it was tough, but it just motivated me because I was like, I'm going to do a performance that's going to blow his mind. And the last, like, it was the last crit of the year that year. I'd been doing performances like the whole time, and he'd just been tearing them to shreds, rightfully so. But the last one I did, man, it got him. And that was like, for me, that was like such a huge accomplishment.
Well, you obviously felt very committed to this part of the art for you.
Sure, yeah.
So along came drawing. I'm waiting.
And then along came drawing, yeah. I mean, you know, it's always been... I think along came drawing in the sense that it became more of like a practice in itself. I mean, it had always been an important aspect, but kind of behind the scenes. And kind of more, I mean, a lot of drawings I was doing at the time were very quick and like just kind of gestural and therapeutic. And so it wasn't until graduate school that I started to really think of them as works in themselves.
Were they done more as just sketching, just doodling around, playing?
Yeah, studies. Mm-hmm. And just kind of energy outlets. And, I mean, I think it was more of a perspective shift in terms of just I started thinking then of them more as like finished work than just means to an end.
And what did they look like? What were they?
At that time, they were very sort of nascent, like versions of like the drawings that I would go on, like the one you have, in terms of this kind of doodle-ish. Almost like, I mean, I think the blind contour conversation is great because I think you can really see how the mark making evolved from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that DNA for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just these kind of like free form images that would kind of at times have a figurative element or aspect to it, but very, very abstract.
Yeah, they were just references.
Yeah.
Nuanced, right?
And I think whimsical. I think they were very whimsical, definitely.
Yeah. Well, just even the color, play color is whimsical.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So if I look at your studio practice today, how do these various elements balance out, or do they?
You know, it's interesting. I they definitely do. I mean, if you look at what I posted on Monique's Instagram, you'll see kind of where I'm going with what I'm doing right now. And I've gotten into more these more sort of like contained structures, I guess you could say. And that's just been kind of fascinating me for the last couple of years now. And it's, you know, it's just these structures that are built from the center out. And so they, like, have these layers to them. And so they're definitely improvised, but they're much more like each layer reacts to the layer before, if that makes sense.
What's the materiality?
In terms of the medium, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
The same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they have, it's kind of, I feel like it's taking the, like with the drawing that you have in that series, those were structured just by the medium of like the size of the paper. And, you know, it's just like a contained sort of free-for-all. But it's obviously like every mark is contingent on another mark.
So these sound more engineered to me.
Yeah, they're more engineered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk to me a moment about collaboration, because you've done some collaborative work. At least I know with one other person, maybe you've done it with many, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me what that's like.
It is very interesting. I've been collaborating. The first real collaborator I had was an undergrad. And it was a fellow student, a woman who I was good friends with. And she and I did a lot of work together, performance-wise. And it was really interesting because it was like the first time I felt, or I sort of understood how you could like sort of work off another person's aesthetic and how that your aesthetic and their aesthetic to create a new aesthetic. And it's so funny. Like, she was, like, covered in tattoos, totally, like, goth girl, you know? And I was, like, I would wear, like, sweater vests and have this very kind of, like, square professorial look. And
of course.
Yeah. I just thought that was, it just worked. It really worked. And that really taught me a lot just in terms of like how these two great opposites, sort of extremes, can like create a new experience. And that was really helpful. So that led to, I think that really opened me up to working with other people at times. And so then in graduate school, there were a couple of friends that I'm still very close with, that I still worked with from time to time through the years. And so that just felt like a natural extension. You know, one, Ross Marino, being one, he's a magician and uses magic in his work a lot. So he and I did a lot of projects together. And then Benjamin Bellis was another good friend. And he and I have done a lot of work together, too. So that's been really fruitful. I mean, just, you know, just it really, I think part of it is just the community aspect. And I was really lucky to have like a great community in grad school. And a lot of us were in the sculpture department. We're doing a lot of performance work at that time. And it just really like clicked and brought us all together. So that was really it.
Do you see from the experiences you have collaborating, do you see that influence, or I don't even know if influence is, do you see it penetrate your other work in certain ways? Has it alters your perspective?
I think so. I think it has to, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when it's, you know, when it was a more regular part of my practice. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, like Ross and I haven't worked as much in the last couple of years because he had a family. But I think when we were doing a lot of work together, that definitely permeated how I would think. And I mean, we're still, you know, frequently bouncing ideas off each other and
cool.
asking questions. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's nice to have that community.
I'm running out of time, sadly. I'm trying to limit these so that they stay balanced, but a couple more things I'm interested in.
Sure.
Aside from this new work, I wanted to ask you about that. Can you identify when that began to creep into your work, this concept?
The new series?
It
started, I want to say, 3 years ago now. And how did it start? It just, can't exactly pinpoint the first time I started kind of thinking in this way. But it was around that time. And I think it was a response to I think I had sort of pushed the series of the like the drawing that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That series, I feel like I pushed it about as far as I could. And then the show I had at Monique's after the one where I showed the drawing you have in 2012, so through my 2016 show at Monique's, I had started to do more, had moved into more of a systematic approach. And I like to sort of say, like, strategy-oriented,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in the sense that I would start, like, it was basically like starting a momentum. I don't know if that really makes sense. So sort of like I would have an idea and then just build off that idea. So more of a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And
taking more control of it, I think.
It was taking more control, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like the series from the drawing you have, or the where the drawing's from, that was definitely more of an improvised approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that there's not structure in that,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of an implied structure. This is like more of a conscious approach to that.
And then what's percolating?
What's percolating?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I think these new drawings that I have going right now are definitely pointing the way.
Are you doing sculpture along with them?
Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Once I'm in my new real studio, that will start happening as well. But right now I'm pretty immersed in the two dimensions.
Oh, you're limited, yeah.
Yeah.
But typically, are you working multimedia at the same time, a little of this, a little of that? Are they developing?
Yeah.
Sure. Developing together?
Yeah, so cool. It'll be interesting to see what happens when. And they, it's always a dialogue. So, to not have the sculptural aspect is interesting because I'm curious to see about what happens when that sort of gets back in the conversation.
Yeah. But you're eager for that, too.
I am.
Well, I could talk to you for another hour, I'm sure, but I'm going to be disciplined and this here. So much more I'd like to learn, but I'm going to go study Monique's Instagram feed and take a closer look, especially now that we talked.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that you agreed to have this conversation with me. I remember well our time together.
Oh yeah,
and I remember the performance that I saw during the Armory. I think that was on Instagram recently. I took a look and went, oh my God, there's that performance.
Yeah, I did.
So this is a treat, and I'm creating a new addendum to my website, which will have these conversations, and then transcriptions will be, and the audios will be available for graduate students who work with the collection. Because I think it's really important for graduate students to know the behind-the-scenes story of how artists come to do what they do, and that it's not a straight line, and it has its challenges and its joys, and each is his own unique life that he brings to his work. So thank you for making this contribution. I'll hope to catch up with you one day when the world returns to some kind of order.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
You be well, and we'll stay in touch. Okay? Thanks, Justin. Bye.
Bye-bye.